Now we're talking to somebody from the, we're going to talk to Matt Kunkel from the Migrant Workers Centre. And of course, the fantasy of having a base rate for employment for a lot of migrant workers who are working in the horticultural industry was a myth. G'day, Matt. There was a big change coming out of, or a message coming out of the Fair Work Commission, or I mean, I always stumble on that, the Unfair Work Commission. Yeah. but they did something quite interesting in response to an application by the Australian Workers Union recently. Do you want to explain to my listeners what happened?
Yeah, sure. Hi, Annie. Thanks for having me on, and morning to all the listeners. So this week, the Fair Work Commission made a decision that they would alter the horticulture award, which sets the minimum wage and conditions of workers who pick our fruit and veggies. And what they've said is that for those workers who are engaged on piece rates, where, you know, a certain amount of money per bin of fruit, or, you know, a certain amount of money for how many different trees you might be pruning for something like that, that even if you're set, even if you're on a piece rate, you'll be guaranteed to take home the minimum wage for all of the hours that you've worked, which is a really huge shift for the workers and a huge victory for the workers in the industry.
Yeah, well, I've been sorting through it, and the piece rate is... I mean, if you look at it, it was, this is what it says, a full-time and part-time, this is what they wanted to have, that clause provided that the piecework rate fixed by agreement must enable the average competent employee to earn at least 15% more per hour than the minimum hourly rate. The problem was that even the Fair Work Commission could tell that piecework rates are set unilaterally by the grower and presented to the employee on a take-it-or-leave basis rather than being the product of any genuine negotiation between employer and employee. And this is one of the things that your centre, the Migrant Workers Centre, in particular, has a very strong awareness of amongst your members, isn't it so?
Yeah, Annie, so I guess that we've known that the piece rate system's been broken for a very long time, and earlier this year we released a report to coincide with the hearings around this this case that showed that some workers were earning as little as $9 a day, and that almost 80% of workers that we surveyed, and we surveyed over 1,300 of them, that they were being paid less than the minimum wage when they were working on these piece rate systems. And what we see here is there's a number of kind of issues that make this an impossible situation for particularly migrant workers, where working holiday makers have to go out into the country to work 88 days on a farm if they want to extend their visa and stay in the country a little bit longer. So, you know, so we found people working for as little as $9 a day. We saw that this was coupled with other abuses like, you know, accommodation scams or violence and harassment in the workplace. But what we know is that the farmers have been setting these rates, as the commission found, unilaterally on a take-it-or-leave-it basis, and they've been setting them so low that, you know, people couldn't possibly make up the minimum wage, which led to them working extremely long hours in the sun, in the cold, just to try and make enough to live. And piece rates itself won't disappear under this decision. So, you know, it was obvious. Piece rates are in a number of different awards, not just the Horticulture Award. But piece rates are there to try and incentivize people. And if you pick more, you get more. And there are going to be people that will continue to get much higher than the minimum wage. But this case showed, not just the union's evidence, but also the farmers' evidence that they put on themselves, showed that the majority of people that are working under these conditions, under these piece rate agreements, were just not able to get the minimum wage. And that is what I think led to the commission making a huge decision to, huge victory for workers, but really what we're talking about is a guaranteed minimum wage, which... Yeah. In 2021, it's shocking that we're still having to fight for something like that.
Well, it's interesting. There's a whole lot of things I want to ask you about this, because this decision or this move by the Australian Workers' Union, supported by the UWU and a variety of governments around Australia, state governments around Australia, is only the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the struggle that has been going on. And I mean, I've been aware of the UWU real grassroots campaign that are bringing to the surface very brave workers and attempting to get people in from particular language groups involved in fighting back against these abuses.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's been a definite revitalization of organising in the farm sector, and you know, we've seen that being coupled with workers standing up and telling their stories, and some pretty horrific ones, particularly in the media, going back to the slaving away story on Four Corners many years ago. But I mean, this is definitely, we're overdue for action. We've seen countless reports, we've seen countless news stories. We've seen workers standing up and demanding better, but this change that would institute a minimum wage in the farms is a really great step, but it's really, you know, we can't ever hope to hold on to something that we win in a court unless we're organised together to defend it in our shops or in our factories or, in this case, on our farms, because our report as well showed that 61% of people that worked in the farm sector that were paid hourly wages were actually underpaid as well. So while this is a really, really massive step, and I don't want to downplay it because it's a huge shift, the only solution to raising wages, to making better jobs, is for workers to join in unions, to fight together and address the imbalance that they have in the workplace against their boss.
Well, because you're saying it's one step, and this is one of the things I want to get to. You can't take your hand off the throttle, can you? Because you're now, from the Migrant Workers Centre, is pushing now for there to be legislation passing to actually place a seal on this judgment, because it's not, there's still a sort of an appeals process that can be brought against this judgment.
Yeah, well, it's slightly different to that, I guess, Annie. I mean, we're looking for the federal government to come out and support this decision and send a message to farmers and to their employer association, the Farmers Federation, to not appeal this decision, but to respect it. Because the Farmers Federation's been frothing at the mouth. I mean, they're saying that the sky's going to fall in, that, you know, this is the end of peace rates and, you know, this will push farmers to the wall. But, I mean, what we're talking about here is abolishing...
slavery.
Not abolishing, yeah, we're really talking about running out these bad operators that have been using this particular scheme to push wages down. What we're also saying is, as you said, Annie, I mean, we need to keep the pressure on. We need to keep things moving ahead. This is, again, a huge, mammoth shift in the way that industrial relations on farms will operate. But we still need, there's a couple of things in front of the parliament at the moment. A lot of people kind of say it, you know, like the Orwellian named, but the bill that the government has put forward, the Protecting Migrants Bill, is actually perversely going to have the opposite effect to what it intends by making it quite precarious and quite dangerous for people in migrant workers to actually report industrial abuses, because it could see them reset the clock on their permanent pathway. We need to do, if we want to fix this sector, we need to do a couple of things. We need to make sure that there's a pathway to permanent residency for those workers that want it. And we really need to see more powers given to unions to organise in the sector, to get together and to really, you know, collectively bargain and make, make that a farm sector that's fair for workers, and, you know, drive out this exploitation that we see all over the place.
Well, it was quite fascinating during the COVID period when there was a lot of Murdoch media around the loss of crops and not enough workers, et cetera, et cetera. But the pushback was that they refused to pay people properly and to treat them with any respect. And so it was and that it was really difficult for local workers to actually get jobs in these spaces.
Well, I mean, Annie, the government and farmers have done everything to try and attract people to these jobs, except pay people more to them. And, you know, what we now see as well is, you know, this mad rush to, you know, try and fill the labour supply issues, but not addressing that what's at the very core of it, which is these jobs are really difficult jobs. They're jobs that only last a little while. So you've got to move from place to place. And, you know, we need to find a way of stabilising the paying conditions, improving the paying conditions so that people can actually afford to go and work on these in these jobs, so that migrant workers that come here and that are in many ways almost required to go through this period of work on farms if they want to extend their visas, that those people are going to be respected, that they're going to have decent jobs, and rather than just kind of working for their right to stay in the country another year, they're actually taking home a fair day's pay for a fair day's work. So there's a lot more that still needs to be done here. And as I said before, the only thing that's going to make sure we both kind of really realise the victory from this decision in the commission is if workers are coming together in union to demand better in the sector.
It's interesting to me. This is a sort of a left of field thing, but the basic bullying and pervasive exploitative relationship between the workers that exposed by this area of work is exactly the same kind of hideous bullying that comes out of the issues around sexual harassment and domestic violence that is endemic in this country. It's an attitudinal thing, and the business about precarity and the intersection of both industrial and migration law is an example of this. People not being able to say that this is a really criminally abusive employment relationship because they're frightened of being deported.
Yeah, that's a huge issue, Annie. I mean, that's why we say that one of the most important things that we can do to support all the migrant workers, not just on farms, but across the country, is to improve the visa system, to improve the migration system. We rely in this country and have become, employers have become addicted to this temporary migration scheme because it allows them to add a new level of precarity on top of, you know, the casual precarity. If, you know, you're a casual and your visa might, and I control your visa. If I control your visa, I might control how long you get to stay in the country. So, we do really see some controlling behaviour from some very bad employers, and one way we can fix that is by making sure that those who want to stay, because we know that many of the almost 2 million temporary migrants in this country want to stay, but they have no option or they have very few options to actually stay without continuing to stay in very difficult situations where they're being paid less than the minimum wage, being treated horribly. It's important to say here that it's the employers that are, you know, hungry to keep this because they're the ones that are benefiting the most out of these exploitative conditions. The other thing, Annie, is that, you know, the work that we do with migrant workers, you know, educating and kind of going out and telling people about what their rights are, everyone that we speak to, when you tell them, you know, this is the minimum wage and, you know, this is superannuation, there's not one single person that's out there that we've spoken to that said, oh, well, I'm kind of happy earning $5 or $10 an hour. You know what I mean? So, I mean, there's this idea, I mean, and a wrong idea that, you know, migrants are scapegoated for some of the issues that workers face in this country. But it's the bosses that are the ones that are driving the wages down. It's the government it's the federal government that's supporting them in that endeavour by refusing to make changes to the industrial relations system and their continued attacks on unions. And it's a really thing that for all of you listeners out there, you know, to join a union if you're in the workplace, or if you're not in the workplace, there's, you know, the unemployed workers union as well. But if join a union, stand together with other workers, no matter where they're from, because ultimately that's the only way that we're going to turn this around and make sure that we've got decent living standards for everybody.
Thanks for talking to us this morning, Matt.
No worries. Thanks, Annie.